convoy. Laura glanced out the window and shook her head in dismay. According to photographs taken on the day, Laura was dressed conservatively, as was her way, in a navy blue wool day suit with a long skirt. She also wore a matching tailor jacket cut to her waist, which appeared to be made of merino wool, over a white silk blouse with a high neck. Her hair was a glossy chestnut color. At 53, she was stunning, with her flawless complexion and eyes so deeply blue they were almost violet. Thin creases around her eyes and some at her mouth, too, just made her look more real, more authentic. Her beauty was austere and somehow even autocratic. She was also a powerful woman, as she demonstrated many times over the years. Sometimes it felt like the best was yet to come for Laura Bush. But was it? In her lap was a tabloid newspaper with a startling headline, "Revealed, Bush's wife killed boyfriend." As the agent watched in the rear-view mirror, she nervously rolled the paper into the shape of a tube and then flattened it out again. It had to happen eventually, and she knew it. How long could any scandal of this magnitude be kept out of the public view? After all, it had been 37 years. It was amazing that this particular story hadn't come to light yet, considering the high-profile nature of her life. Her father-in-law, George H.W., had been vice president for 8 years and then president for 4. Her husband, George W., had been governor of Texas for the last 6 years and was now campaigning for the Republican presidential nomination. How was it possible that no reporter had uncovered this scoop before now? She'd been dreading it for so long, maybe she should have been grateful that finally some writer she didn't even know had relieved her of this burden. But why did it have to be a tabloid reporter? And why did he have to work for something called Star? Sighing deeply, she folded the newspaper in quarters and quickly stuffed it into her purse, as if making the decision to stop obsessing over it. To hear her recall this time many years later, her primary concern was how the story might affect George's campaign. He'd worked so hard, and as far as she was concerned, was by far the best candidate. The idea that she could ruin things for him now was crushing. Her next thought was obvious. How would it affect her family? Most people, even close relatives, didn't know about this misadventure. It had taken her years to come to terms with this private heartache. Finally, she had come to understand that in no way did this terrible event, which had happened when she was just 17, define her. Still, it was mortifying to now have the whole world read about it, and making it worse, many of the details weren't even accurate. What might people think of her in light of this story? As she sat in the back seat of her car, surrounded on all sides by the maddening cacophony of bustling Dallas, she must have felt completely and utterly trapped. She tried to lower the tinted window to get some air. It was locked. "Can we put this down just a bit?" she asked the agent. He pushed a button and the window lowered about an inch. "A bit more?" she asked. He gave her another half inch. "Any more's not safe, ma'am," he told her. "I know," she said with a sigh. "I know." She asked him to turn on the air. When he did, she tilted her head back and fanned herself with her hand. The campaign had been a real roller coaster, down one moment, up the next. George was now on top with fresh primary wins in the states of Washington, Virginia, and South Carolina. Yet neither he nor his opponent for the nomination, Senator John McCain, had the momentum for a landslide victory, especially after McCain took New Hampshire. For months, these two men had been viciously attacking each other, and it had gotten very personal,